answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
From the beginning, we said that this is an international challenge that requires collective and international action. And we've been able to bring together now a number of partners, including the United Kingdom, Bahrain, Canada, France, Italy, the Netherlands, Norway, Seychelles, Spain, and even more to address this challenge together. Also today, in a related fashion, the United States and the world's largest flag states for commercial vessels transiting the Red Sea also issued a joint statement condemning in the strongest terms the threats and the acts by the Houthis. This joint statement has 44 signatories, including NATO, the entire EU and G7, as well as Australia, Canada, Bahamas, Malta, New Zealand, Singapore, and Yemen.
Now, there was John Kirby, our National Security Task Force advisor, or talking about a security task force that's going to be put together in the Red Sea to stop the Houthis from firing on merchant ships as they go through the Red Sea and particularly into the Gulf of Aden, or from the Gulf of Aden into the Red Sea. And we'll explain the value of the Red Sea in a moment. But note that when he was listing the countries that have signed on to this task force, he did not mention Israel. He did not mention Saudi Arabia or Egypt. Now, those, in addition to Israel, are two other countries directly affected by the threat of attacking those going through the Red Sea. Many of those that they named are involved in shipping and merchant ships, but a few barely have a navy. Israel has a capability, and certainly could say it has the justification, strike back at the Houthis, because the Iranian-backed rebels have tried to seize and destroy Israeli-linked and Israeli-bound vessels. And the Houthis have fired missiles and drones directly at southern Israel. The U.S. has yet to fire back on the Houthis on the land in Yemen. The fear is escalation. That's something we don't want at all. But you reach a point where it's the same thing when dealing with Iran, which is the mother, the father of all of this. At some point, you're going to have to account the parent and deal with them. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, December 2020, 2023. We are in the second of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back. We're here for you Monday through Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we're also streaming video. You can see it at Larry Connors USA, Facebook or Twitter, News Talk STL, Facebook or Twitter, and our Rumble channels. You can watch it, listen to it at your pleasure. And when you do, would you please then share with someone else so they can be in the loop? I see more and more of you doing it, and more surfacing and thanking that they're now part of the program. And you also will see on our video on a pretty constant basis all those who sponsor this program. We've got every part of your life covered by our sponsors, believe me. At some point you might need something that one of them offer. If it's something they do offer, please use them since they're supporting this 100% patriotic program. So the Red Sea, trying to understand it. First of all, it's 1,400 miles long, 220 miles wide at the widest point. But the Red Sea, going from the Mediterranean, then jumping into the Gulf of Aden, and then being used as a choke point at Yemen where they have to make the turn out of the Red Sea to get in the Gulf of Aden or go the other way, that is where Houthis are primarily finding their targets. Because it's slow maneuvering, very tight maneuvering. Some ships have been disengaging their electronic signal. This is what displaces and puts out word as to where they are located, just in case the Houthis are zooming in on whatever readings they're getting on exactly where they are, even if they can't see them. If they can get a signal and determine where it is, that's where they're firing. We have had U.S. Navy ships in the region, destroyers, battleships, shooting down numerous Houthi missiles and drones to protect the merchant ships, and yet some have still been hit. Thank God nobody's been killed. There's been no massive explosion so far. But any moment that could change. And when you got U.S. Navy vessels involved, they could also become a target. But again, what is the value of the Red Sea, not only for that part of the world, but the world as a whole? John Kirby.
The Red Sea is a conduit for 10 to 15% of all global trade, 8% of global grain trade, and 12% of global seaborne oil trade. Of this total Red Sea trade, Greek, Chinese, Japanese, and German-owned vessels make up 40 to 50% of transits. All that underscores the dependence that these economies have around the world on the strategic trade. Bottom line is, these attacks have to stop. They need to stop. They're unacceptable. The United States, our allies, and our partners will do what we have to do to counter these threats and to protect these ships.
We will do what we need to do to counter these attacks and protect these ships, which brings us again to the question. Why are we not firing upon the Houthis directly? The U.S. could easily attack the Houthis and destroy their capabilities. We could easily do it. But the U.S. is being held back. Israel's also holding back. And there was a question raised to National Security Aide John Kirby at the White House press briefing on that. The question: there are some unnamed countries that are currently involved in the Red Sea initiative. Can you say more about why those countries don't want to be named? And is it a sign that, you know, countries don't want to be seen standing with the U.S. at this moment in this region? Good question. Kirby's answer: there are some nations that have agreed to participate, to be part of this, but they've got to decide. They're sovereign nations. They get to decide how public they want to be. I'll leave it up to them to be able to describe it one way or the other, because not all of them want to become public. I doubt you're getting to get much more out of them. But he has this joint statement signed by 44 countries as proof the U.S. is not the only one standing to stop the firing on the merchant ships transversing the Red Sea. In the previous hour, we were having some comments from Victor Davis Hanson, a political commentator, also a military commentator. He said, we basically have given the Red Sea over the Houthis. And we have. That entire progress from the Mediterranean Sea to the Gulf of Aden and then into the Indian Ocean is basically a war zone, even though it's not being declared that. That entire 1,400-mile stretch is an easy target for Houthi rebels or Iranian Revolutionary Guard or anyone else who wants to get involved in it. Going right past Egypt, and Egypt is not one of the signatories to join the task force. Why? Well, because they feared that then they would be the target. And Hamas in Gaza joins a part of Egypt. But this joint statement signed by 44 countries. So the U.S. could summon allies to sign a piece of paper, apparently. But as Breitbart notes, it could not convince them to send forces to protect Red Sea shipping, nor will it muster to take out a primitive militia from one of the world's poorest countries with long supply lines to Iran. Now, here's the other key to keep in mind. When Joe Biden came into office, the Houthis were on the terrorist list for obvious reasons. One of the first things Biden did within days of taking office, take them off the terrorist group listing and not really enforce the sanctions against Iran. You want to know why we have such a hell place going on right now in that part of the world? Because Biden has basically said, green light, just as he has at our border. CBN News had a report on how Hamas is now using some of their hostages in propaganda video.
Hamas released a video of three of the older male hostages pleading with Israel to obtain their release. Chaim Perry said he's being held with other elderly hostages, all with chronic illnesses. He said they feel abandoned and don't want to die as a result of Israeli airstrikes. The three chanting, "At all costs, don't throw us away in old age." In a briefing to the nation, IDF spokesman Daniel Hagari spoke directly to the hostages and said that Israel is doing everything it can to get them out.
The video Hamas released in the past hour is an evil terror video. It indicates Hamas brutality toward very old civilians, innocent and in need of medical attention.
Hamas is still holding more than 100 hostages.
More than 100 hostages, including women and children, and some old people. And our hearts still go out for them, obviously. And the other day, Israel had to admit that its own forces killed three hostages that had escaped from Hamas. They were running toward the troops. Supposedly, they had a white flag, maybe more than one. Whether or not it was seen or not, one of the soldiers felt that was possibly Hamas terrorists posing as hostages, trying to get closer to them, and open fire. And once one bullet is fired, rapid fire from others. And Israel had to admit, yes, we killed hostages. An unspeakable tragedy on top of what they've already been through. But, of course, we don't know the conditions of the Israeli soldier who first opened fire on them. If he just lost some friends in a tunnel bombing or a trap ambush the day before, or if he's been pushed to the limit physically, and maybe judgment not as clear as it should be. But that's part of the fog of war. In this case, three of the hostages who actually got free were cut down by Israeli defense forces. And they are still trying to get more of the hostages out. But they've also had numerous cases where they find Hamas terrorists dressed as civilians so they can get closer to the IDF and maybe carry out a suicide attack against them. And Israel continues to be pushed to a ceasefire. Trey Yinks reporting.
In the United States reportedly went to Israel to wrap up this phase of the war by the end of the year. The Biden administration hopeful that a new lower intensity phase in the fighting could allow more humanitarian supplies to enter the Gaza Strip. The new report raises questions about who will control government aspects of life in Gaza once Hamas leadership is taken out. The Washington Post reports that a 20-page plan was created by the State Department and points to Palestinians controlling the enclave with international oversight. The planning comes as Israel continues to strike Gaza. Over the last day, 300 different targets were hit, including a rocket-launching position. Now, that position was used to fire on the Israeli city of Tel Aviv just yesterday.
Just yesterday. So it continues and does not show any sign of relenting anytime soon. Well, there's a ruling out of the Supreme Court yesterday, late yesterday, that has the leftists celebrating, and yes, because it involves Donald Trump.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Readout. And we begin tonight with major breaking news. A bombshell ruling from the Colorado Supreme Court in just the last hour states that Donald Trump is disqualified from holding the office of president and from appearing on the Republican primary ballot in that state. In a more than 200-page ruling, the court found that Trump is ineligible for the White House under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The court found that the district court was correct in its early ruling, calling the January 6th attack on the Capitol an insurrection, and that Trump, quote, engaged in that insurrection through his personal actions. The court noted, "We do not reach these conclusions lightly. We are mindful of the magnitude and weight of the questions now before us. We are likewise mindful of our solemn duty to apply the law without fear or favor."
Well, that sounds all fine, without fear or favor. All seven are Democrats, and four of them decided, yeah, let's go ahead and go after Trump. They were dealing with a lower court ruling, which was basically deciding at that point, not so much was Trump an insurrectionist, but did he fit the 14th Amendment, Section 3, for disqualification from holding office? No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the U.S. or under any state who previously has taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the U.S. or as a member of any state legislature or an executive of any judicial office of a state to support the Constitution of the U.S. shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion. Hans von Spakovsky was with us the preceding hour. He's a heritage constitutional expert, also previous member of the Federal Election Commission. He said, nowhere in what I just read is the president or the vice president involved as being disqualified from holding office. You heard the electors for president and vice president. So that was part of the ruling they had to agree with. And then again, was he guilty of any insurrection? He has yet to be charged at any point. Trump has not been charged with insurrection. I don't know how many times I've made that point going through the impeachment hearings and everything since. There is not one charge of insurrection. Why? Because they can't prove it. And if they could, they would be going wall-to-wall coverage on it. Rachel Maddow of MSNBC has her view.
I think in the broad strokes, in terms of our democracy, there are very few magic wands. there are very few sort of magic spells that you cast that make a complex and difficult problem go away. It just doesn't happen very often in our political system, and I think that we shouldn't be under any illusions about the character and the partisan inclinations, among other things, of this current Supreme Court as it is constituted. That said, yeah. This is not a crazy thing for a democracy to do. This is something that was a hallmark of post-war Germany after World War II. This is something that happened to Jair Bolsonaro in Brazil quite recently. This is something that our own Congress did in 1868 after our own Civil War, specifically to preclude anybody from holding office in this country who had engaged in insurrection against this country. And so it's not unheard of, but it would be an incredible wild card.
It would be a wild card because there is yet to be a charge of insurrection against Donald Trump. Aside from whether the 14th Amendment Section 3 disqualification from holding office is applied, where is the insurrection? You can look and you can look, but you're not going to find it. Not any charges filed so far. Now, this morning, Mike Ferguson on his program, along with Gabe Pfeiffer, had Mike O'Neill of the Landmark Legal Association organization dealing with the Colorado ruling. I want you to listen to a large part of that conversation they had. Great question and answer. And you'll learn a lot, and we'll add some additional points to it. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
A great whiskey suggestion. Stolach Whiskey, created using natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Next time, get a bottle. But if you're going to share with friends, you better get at least two bottles. Stolach has the Larry Connors seal of approval. See the full story at Stolach.com. Stolach, S-T-O-W-L-O-C-H, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Donald Trump kicked off the ballot in Colorado, at least the primary ballot, and the Colorado Supreme Court affirming a lower court decision and citing the 14th Amendment of what people sometimes call the disqualification clause. And we're now joined by Mike O'Neill from the Landmark Legal Foundation. I'm not going to lie, Mike, I was surprised when I saw this ruling. Let's start with just the balls and strikes. What did they actually rule, and what's the reasoning they're giving to say Donald Trump's not allowed on the primary ballot?
Right. They are ruling that Donald Trump is disqualified from appearing on the ballot from under the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. They affirmed the lower court's finding that Donald Trump engaged in insurrection in his actions on January 6th and the days leading up to January 6th, specifically his speech on the Ellipse, tweets he sent out.
The speech he made that day on January 6th, down the street from the Capitol, and tweets he sent out, the Colorado court deciding, yeah, that's grounds enough to charge him with insurrection and make him ineligible to hold office under Section 3 of the Constitution, the 14th Amendment. Now, that was Mike Ferguson from the Mike Ferguson program this morning with his guest on to break it down. The answering was done by Mike O'Neill with the Landmark Legal Association, part of the Ronald Reagan Legal Foundation, and it stands for Promoting Liberty and Fighting Tyranny. And boy, do we need that nowadays, do we not? This ruling, on one hand, is simple. On the other hand, it's extremely complicated, and so are the ramifications going forward. As I was stating in the previous hour, and a little bit here as well before we went to the break, the 14th Amendment, and as you heard Mike Ferguson properly point out, the one often called disqualification from holding office, is based on every elected, appointed position except for president and vice president. They're not mentioned. Not mentioned. Now, the electors of them, for their ability to cast ballots in a caucus, electoral college, whatever, they would be considered. Now, Congress has a right by a vote of two-thirds of each house to remove such disability. Hans von Spakovsky had pointed out that there were two amendments passed later that basically wiped out all the meaning of this Article 3 of Section 14 of the Constitution. Amendment 14, I should say. And yet they persist. Why? Because it's Trump. And Biden weighed in today saying that Donald Trump, quote, certainly supported an insurrection. He says that without any facts or basis. He just says it. Trump, quote, certainly supported an insurrection. Here's the way it was presented. A reporter asked Biden, is Trump an insurrectionist, sir? Biden mumbled, I think it's self-evident. And then he continued, whether the 14th Amendment applies, we'll let the court make that decision. Okay, so there he says, we'll let the court decide. But then he adds, but he certainly supported an insurrection. No question about it. None. Zero. And he seems to be doubling down. Well, Biden was coherent to that extent that he is clueless. Again, back to the comments of Mike O'Neill, the Landmark Legal Association, on this ruling as to how they put it in place, got it ready, and then put it in the chamber to aim at Donald Trump and set it up and fire.
The lower court did conclude that he engaged in insurrection. The lower court, however, declined to remove him from the ballot because technically they ruled, the judge ruled that he was concluded that he was not an officer of the United States. And the 14th Amendment, Section 3, applies to officers of the United States. Well, the Colorado Supreme Court disagreed with that lower court's conclusion regarding officer of the United States. They agreed with the lower court's finding stating that he did engage in insurrection. They also concluded that he did qualify as an officer of the United States. In other words, the office of the presidency is encompassed within the language of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Therefore, he is ineligible to serve as appear on the ballot for the presidential primary and also subsequently the presidential election.
Okay, that was going to ask about that too. Yeah.
They did technically stay their decision pending a Supreme Court appeal. So as of right now, the status quo holds. The lower court's decision holds. In other words, his name will still appear on the ballot. However, they said at the very beginning of their opinion, he has to appeal this to the Supreme Court. If he doesn't appeal it, then our decision will go into effect. Well, of course, obviously, they've stated the Trump attorneys have stated that he is appealing this to the United States Supreme Court. So the Colorado Supreme Court's decision will be stayed pending an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court.
And that is be underway immediately, and they would expect to get oral arguments maybe well before spring. We'll see. But again, as O'Neill was pointing out, the lower court decided that the 14th Amendment, Section 3, does apply to Trump as president. I just read it to you. The president and vice president are not mentioned in Section 3. They are not mentioned. Well, how did those judges reach that point? They just figured it must be part of it. I'm not a lawyer. I don't pretend to be one. But I question the ability of the lawyers on the Colorado Supreme Court as they go through this. But once again, another question, this one raised by Gabe Pfeiffer, a co-host of the Mike Ferguson Show.
Good morning, Mike. Gabe Pfeiffer here. So this case sounds a little more complicated than I was even originally thinking, because the lower court's finding was that he did engage in insurrection. Now, is that federal law or state law?
Who's defining
statement? We're defining it. Yeah,
I'm following you exactly. Well, it's an interesting thing. The lower court ruled by clear and convincing evidence by the standard that they actually just proffered. Exactly. What was the question here? What constitutes insurrection? action. That's right. Fantastic. That's exactly the heart of the matter here. Well, the court said his actions are analogous or it fell within the purview of what the drafters of Section 3 contemplated when they wrote when they used the term insurrection. Now, let's keep in mind what was that? What was the 14th Amendment Section 3? That was applicable to Confederate soldiers, Confederate generals, Confederate politicians, individuals who engaged in rebellion right after, during the Civil War.
During the Civil War. That's why it was originally put in effect. But as a heritage constitutional legal expert, Hans von Spakovsky, added for us, after they passed that, they later, in the late 1800s, passed a law diluting it, and then passed another one, basically throwing it out the window, the whole part of that section of Article or Constitutional Amendment 14. And O'Neill had additional background.
What constitutes insurrection? That's right. Fantastic. That's exactly the heart of the matter here. Well, the court said his actions are analogous or it fell within the purview of what the drafters of Section 3 contemplated when they wrote when they used the term insurrection. Now, let's keep in mind what was that? What was the 14th Amendment Section 3? That was applicable to Confederate soldiers, Confederate generals, Confederate politicians, individuals who engaged in rebellion right after, during the Civil War. That section was put in place by the drafters of the 14th Amendment to exclude former Confederate officers, former individuals who served in the Confederate legislature from serving as federal officers. In other words, think about it this way. Jefferson Davis goes back to his state after the Civil War, is still a popular guy, wants to run for Congress. Well, of course, Jefferson Davis, who was the president of the Confederacy during the Civil War, engaged in insurrection or rebellion and should not be eligible to serve as a senator or a representative in Congress post-Civil War during the Reconstruction. So there's a lot of evidence out there that indicates, that suggests that, again, we try to get at what was the meaning of the language at the time. We're talking about the original intent here. Originalism, we talked about it back in the founding era. We also can talk about it in the Reconstruction era. So we're saying, what exactly was the intent of the drafters of the 14th Amendment when they termed the coin, when they used the term insurrection? What constitutes insurrection? Supreme Court, the lower court, and then the Colorado Supreme Court believe that this fell within the basket of insurrection. Of course, obviously, I disagree with that.
And I would agree with him. That's Mike O'Neill, Landmark Legal Association. And I'll point out again, Trump is not charged with insurrection at any point. And if they had and could do it, it would have been done repeatedly. And one of the listeners to the Mike Ferguson program sent in a question that needed to be answered.
Donald Trump is charged with some criminal offenses, regarding right. January 6th, but he's not been convicted of anything. He's been impeached, but he wasn't convicted. So to Laura's right. point right there, does it matter constitutionally that there is not actually a conviction, or is this some
charge?
Yeah, I mean, or is this some,
even,
yeah, the courts,
yeah.
the courts or states can just declare.
Well, what's important about that is in all of the instances that she's talking about, all of the charges that he's faced, what hasn't he faced? He hasn't actually. There's a criminal statute applicable to insurrection. You can be found criminally guilty of engaging in insurrection. There's an actual statute in the U.S. Federal Criminal Code on insurrection. And of course, all the charges that have been levied on Donald Trump, he was never charged with insurrection. He was never impeached for insurrection. So that's an important fact. Yes. However, I mean, you're talking, there's the criminal realm and then the political realm here. So the standards necessarily aren't exactly line up. However, it is important, and that is a really important point that she raised. He has never been charged criminally with insurrection, and he has never been, and no court has ever found him guilty of insurrection. Now, the lower court did find in the context of a clear and convincing, this is a lower standard, that he engaged in insurrection, but technically he's never been found guilty or even been charged criminally with insurrection by any of these bodies.
Great point. There's one other point that Michael Neal makes with the Legal Foundation, I should say Landmark Legal Association. I want you to hear that when we continue. And I also want you to hear some of the views of political writers and columnists as to what they think is going on behind the scenes and up in front. Plus some of the political candidates, even those against Trump. That's still to come. Stand by, please.
Yeah.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is News Talk STL.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally, McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is so luxurious you might think you have to be a member. You don't, but you will quickly see why Lit won the 2023 Riverfront Times Best Smoking Lounge, Best Smoke Shop for the second time in a row. Quality cigars, premium drinks. So join me at Lit, just off 40 in the district at Chesterfield. For special events, entertainment, always check the website, litstl.com. litstl.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Gentlemen, we are in uncharted territory with this, but from a constitutional perspective, from a legal perspective, this is something that our country has really never faced before. So the Supreme Court's ultimately going to have to decide on the applicability of this obscure provision of the 14th Amendment and whether it's going, how it applies and everything that comes around with it, all of the legal issues. I mean, we could spend hours delving into all of it because it really gets into the weeds on how a court's going to interpret these terms that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to see about the applicability of the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And whether and what constitutes an insurrection, and whether it's self executing, whether the presidency is encompassed in the officer of the United States, all kinds of language. There's a case that happened right after the ratification of this that actually said Solomon Chase, who was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court at the time, was riding in circuit, actually issued an opinion saying that this section was not self executing. In other words, Congress had to pass a law empowering a party to bring a lawsuit. Well, no law was ever passed by Congress empowering these individuals in Colorado to bring this lawsuit. So there's all kinds of legal issues.
That's just one more legal hurdle the progressives are going to have to jump through. But they will. You can light it on fire. They'll still jump through it. Even if they're jumping in the mouth of a tiger, they'll do it if it's a way to destroy Donald Trump and his base. Because what they're doing is disenfranchising 4-plus million voters in Colorado who in the past voted for Trump and might well do it again. And those words again from Mike O'Neill, Landmark Legal Association, part of the Ronald Reagan Legal Foundation, which is all about promoting liberty and fighting tyranny, which is exactly what we're facing at this point, as he appeared today on the Mike Ferguson Morning Show. Great interview by Mike and Gabe, and it was a lot of compelling information. And that closing remark I wanted you to hear because it clearly makes it obvious that there are a lot of questions still surrounding this. Yet Joe Biden, in answering a question for a reporter, can say, well, whether the 14th Amendment applies, we'll let the court make that decision. And I'm probably speaking more coherently than he did. Anyway, Biden then said, but he, talking about Trump, certainly supported an insurrection. No question about it. None. Zero. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? It doesn't exist. And if you doubt that I'm correct about that, I remind you, if they had the evidence, they'd be shouting it from every rooftop, ringing the bells across the nation. We have it. We have the evidence. And they'd put it in your face each and every day. There is none. And I will remind you that coming out of the Colorado Supreme Court to say that Trump is guilty under Amendment 14, Section 3, disqualified to hold office, means he could be taken off the ballot. He will stay on the ballot right now while an appeal is underway to the U.S. Supreme Court. But out of those seven justices, all of them appointed in Colorado by Democrat governors, out of the seven, four said, yes, he cannot be on the ballot. So even three other Democrat justices were saying, I don't think this fits the case and the law. Ah, but they're just sticking the muds. They don't get with the program. Let me share with you some opinions from others. One would be New York Times reporter Maggie Haberman. Now, I told you earlier when we began today's program that that news coming out of Colorado last night for the left was an early Christmas present. Or a late Hanukkah present, if you're looking at it that way. Either way, it's a present for the Democrat Party. Trump will not be able to get on the ballot, so no way he can get in the U.S. office of president again. He won't be able to get on the primary ballot, so he can't be on the general ballot. That's a figment of their imagination. And Haberman says, speaking about those surrounding Trump, and she often has folks very close to the Trump camp. She's a veteran reporter for the New York Times, been covering Trump for the years going back to his time as a real estate developer in New York City. She's widely known for having strong sources within Trump's orbit, direct access to him before and during his presidency. So in her remarks, as she appeared on CNN, speaking about the Trump camp, they generally see it as a gift, this Colorado ruling. So it's a gift for everyone, a gift that keeps giving, I guess. She goes on to say, I mean, Trump is not happy about any of these cases, particularly cases that tie him to a charge of insurrection. Notice Maggie was very accurate about that. He might be tied to acts of insurrection, but he's not responsible for any of it. Did not carry any insurrection out. This is similar to Joe Biden is tied to Hunter Biden and his skim, flim-flam money scheme he's got going everywhere. There's no evidence Joe Biden got any of that money. Yeah, there are documents and monies and bank deposit statements that show he got money. The question is how and why and how are they going to explain it away? But I could use the same phrase that he is tied to Hunter Biden, not only by blood, but by possible criminal activity. Haberman continued, saying they're going to ask the Supreme Court to take it up. The Supreme Court doesn't have to. If they don't, it's basically affirming the lower court decision, which means Colorado would stand and keep Trump off the ballot. And she adds, which I think becomes complicated, although they could obviously always affirm it and say, yes, the Colorado Supreme Court made the right decision. And she added, Trump's team, quote, feels pretty good about their chances. She also added this, so again, none of this in the aggregate is the kind of news most people would like, reference the Colorado ruling. But somehow, every time Donald Trump gets a piece of legal news that in normal times would be problematic, it has had a rallying effect upon his supporters. And that is obviously very clearly true. Because already we're seeing Trump supporters saying, there they go again. They're trying to steal the election now by not even letting him get on the ballot. Now, I want you to hear the view of Adam Wrenn and Josh Gerstein with Politico, their view on the ruling. They point out, let me read part of it for you. This underscores a extraordinary messiness of a presidential campaign litigated as much in the courtroom as on the campaign trail. Cases sprawling across multiple jurisdictions, a cast of characters rivaling a Russian novel, and a former they just had to find a way to put Russian in there, didn't they? Rivaling a Russian novel and a former president who has perfected the art of working the legal system to his advantage over decades of close brushes with the law. Now stop it right there. That wording and that phrasing suggests he's a bad person. If he's working the legal system to his advantage, that means he's within the legal system. Everyone's entitled to do that. You could be caught on 95 million video cameras killing someone, and you could still take the fifth when you're charged and not want to answer any questions about it. We got pictures of you right here. I'm entitled to take the fifth, and I take the fifth. And that would be legal. And they go on to continue, like clockwork on Tuesday night, Trumpsters pollsters predicting the Colorado court had played right into Trump's hand. In fact, his main pollster, Jim McLaughlin, said, the fact that it was a bunch of unelected left-wing judges and a lawsuit brought by a George Soros-funded organization, it's crazy. The American people have a great sense of fairness, and these are the people that run around saying that Trump is a threat to democracy, and they're getting him thrown off the ballot. They're not giving the American people the right to decide. This, I think, is going to backfire. I would agree with him. Again, this is a 4-3 decision, saying that he cannot be on the ballot, not even the primary ballot. And the court stating, we're mindful of the magnitude and weight of the questions. We're likewise mindful of our solemn duty to apply the law without fear or favor. There's some fear and favor in the midst of these four Democrat justices, the other three also Democrat appointed, seeing you cannot continue, there's nothing here. It is a so-called nothing burger, but at least now it's on the way to the Supreme Court. Maggie Haberman might be exactly right. This is also a gift to Trump. It's going to, again, stoke the flames of his supporters. And already we're seeing even candidates that he would face in the primary, we're seeing some take-back look and eyes open wide and even a response from one in particular. Listen to what I've got for you next. Yes, I have right here in my hot hands Vivek Ramaswamy, Republican presidential candidate, stepping forward and saying, I pledge to withdraw from the Colorado state primary if it ends up barring Trump from being on the ballot. In a statement he released on Twitter, he said, this is a true attack on democracy. We have a cabal of Democrat judges seeking to bar the former president from the 2024 election. And he added, I pledge to withdraw from the Colorado GOP primary unless Trump is also allowed to be on the state's ballot. And I demand that Ron DeSantis, Chris Christie, Nikki Haley do the same immediately, or they are otherwise tacitly endorsing this illegal maneuver, which will have disastrous consequences for our country. And so far, I haven't seen anything of prime note from Haley or Christie or DeSantis. Nothing to that extreme that we will withdraw. Haley continues to pick up points and money support, as I've been pointing out in a commentary running through today. And she has moved up as the main challenger Trump will face, certainly in the Granite State of New Hampshire. And she's getting a lot of money thrown at her. And I'm not so sure she would step forward and say that she would withdraw from the Colorado state primary if Trump is barred. But let me remind you of something. So Trump wins the primary in Colorado. He's not likely to cover or carry Colorado. It's a blue state. Been purple, now more blue. But then again, today's ruling might be just the kind of thing that would take some who were going to vote against him or would not vote for him, either stay home or switch their vote. And especially when it comes down to this issue of, aside from the arguing, and this is a legal argument over, does 14th Amendment of the Constitution, Section 3, actually keep him from running and holding office? The general consensus of Mike O'Neill, Landmark Legal Association, and Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation, it does not. But even so, where is the insurrection charge? Even though Joe Biden, when questioned today, said, oh, he's definitely, it's self-evident that he supported an insurrection. No, it's not self-evident. You want to go that route? Then I will go ahead and say it's self-evident. Joe Biden took tons of money from foreign countries and is guilty of bribery, treason, and other high crimes and misdemeanors. Larry, you don't have the evidence. I have as much evidence as Joe Biden has for his remark. And here's the other thing about this insurrection. And when it happened, I told you, the left would use this forever and ever against conservatives. It would outlive the life of the cockroach. And it is. And just yesterday, they charged someone else with insurrection on January 6th. Oh, yeah, they're still charging. This now makes, let me get the exact number here. I don't want to misquote it. More than 1,230 have been charged in the aftermath of January 6th. They weren't arrested that day, maybe, or they were seen and they've since been picked up because they were there. The latest is a Florida woman charged with being inside the Capitol on January 6th, 2021, charging this 23-year-old with felony offense of obstruction of an official proceeding, misdemeanor offenses of entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds, blah, 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 going on and on. She was arrested originally on December 14th. That's how far back they arrested her for an event that took place January 6th, 2021. It says she was seen with another individual climbing on the concrete stairs and up the balustrade toward the upper west terrace of the Capitol. She entered the Capitol around 2:16 p.m. That's not an around. That's a precise number. And she made her way to the rotunda, and here's your insurrection. And after making her way to the Capitol rotunda, you know what the woman did, according to the indictment? She took photographs. She took photographs. can laugh about it, and yet I know she's not, because it's going to cost her money for her defense. Because we have our government weaponized against the American people. The DOJ, the FBI, the Attorney General's Office, and the IRS. We need to put an end to it. And I remind you of our pledge, one nation under God.